Now, when people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we instantly have a new enemy, Satan. And we have temptation from the world, and we have our flesh. And Satan doesn't want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He doesn't want us to grow in relationship to Him, to be more like Him. Satan doesn't want us to be like the Lord.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a wonderful note from Eva in Arizona. She says, Pastor Lundstedt and the entire ETS team, thank you so much for your dedicated teaching and preaching of God's Word, the Bible. To focus on the Word and what it says and not on what we'd like it to say, it is increasingly hard to find, but so needed. Thank you for all you do. God bless you, Eva. Well, Eva, you are so welcome, and praise the Lord for the privilege we have to share His Word. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is using it in the lives of those who are hearing, and just want to thank you for your encouraging note. Okay, well, let's get to our passage where we're going to continue our look at false teachers in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 8 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we live in perilous times. I mentioned this last week. You think about what's going on in the world. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the world. There's all kinds of volatility. There's all kinds of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. There's things that are going on. And yet we as believers know that our Lord has it under control and that He will do what He has said He will do. But He's a patient God, unwilling that any should perish. And so He's allowing sin for a season so that people would come to faith before He would need to judge them, as we'll say. Now, when people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we instantly have a new enemy, Satan. And we have temptation from the world, and we have our flesh. And Satan doesn't want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He doesn't want us to grow in relationship to Him, to be more like Him, the Lord. Satan doesn't want us to be like the Lord. And so he brings about false teachers and false prophets and things to distract us, to detour us, to pull us off. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, in his last words to the Ephesian elders, warned them. He said in Acts 20, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. And that's speaking of in the church, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Paul was concerned about the threats to the faith of those Ephesians who knew Christ. He was concerned, and God is concerned about the threats to our faith. And so we have many warnings throughout Scripture concerning those threats. Now today, we're going to come to a passage where we're going to gain some encouragement, in a sense, because we're going to see that God does and will deal with those who purvey falsehood, that they're not going to get away with it. It can be quite disheartening at times when you see maybe family members or others who have fallen prey to things. You try to share with them. They get sucked into something that's not true, whatever it might be. It's disheartening. And our hearts are discouraged by that. We're discouraged by sin and things happening in churches where it shouldn't be. We're seeing that. And yet I believe the Lord wants us to be encouraged as He reveals that He's going to take care of it. So would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 13? And we are studying the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Ezekiel is in the context, and I'll share the context again here, but after the Lord had made a covenant with His people, the Jews, when they were ready to enter into the land after having a generation die in the wilderness for unbelief, the Lord reminded them through Moses and Deuteronomy of the blessings and cursings of that relationship, that if they obeyed Him, they'd be blessed. If they disobeyed Him, they'd be cursed. And also throughout the Old Testament, we see that they were to have changed hearts. They were to be like Abraham. They were to believe in the truth concerning the seed who would come. And yet, we see over and over again, the Jews in the Old Testament, over and over again, were disobedient. Over and over again, they did what was right in their own sight. Over and over again, they disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord sent prophets to warn them. And he warned them over and over again, year after year. And finally, the northern kingdom in 722 BC was taken into captivity, as the Lord had predicted, if they disobeyed. And then we see in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege of Jerusalem, and he took Daniel and his friends. Then in 597, he took 10,000 more and another siege, including Ezekiel. Then in 586 BC, Jerusalem was brutally sieged for 18 months and then ultimately destroyed. The walls were torn down, the city destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and the Jews who remained, who were not killed, were taken captive to Babylon and taken into exile for 70 years. We see that. Now, the book of Ezekiel is centered around this third and final siege. It's an 18-month siege in which God predicted in Deuteronomy what would happen in Deuteronomy 28 if the Jews continued to disobey and not listen to his voice. And within that siege, Ezekiel is centered around that. The first 24 chapters are prophecies up to the siege, and then 24 through 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege, and then in chapter 33 through 48 are prophecies after the siege. And so Ezekiel is not like Jeremiah. He is in exile. Jeremiah is prophesying to those in Jerusalem, but Ezekiel is in exile, and he is prophesying to the exiles concerning those who are about to be judged in Jerusalem. And he is prophesying to those who are listening to the voices of false assurance, that peace and safety, everything's good. As we'll see today, the prophets were saying, you're good with God and there's nothing wrong, peace and safety. They were comforting them in their sin rather than telling them that they needed to deal with their sin by turning to the Lord and repenting. And so with that, in the book of Ezekiel, we begin to see that very first vision in which Ezekiel chapter 1 sees the Lord on his throne coming from the north with the cherubim and the wheels and all that behind the scenes reality that we can't see but God reveals in the word and Ezekiel saw. And that the Lord is coming and he's going to bring judgment upon his people as he declared because they have not turned. But he's still warning them, by the way. God is still gracious. He warns to the last minute that we would turn. And we saw Ezekiel doing the sign sermons and siege sermons. It's clear that God would bring his wrath. And it was because of Israel's idolatrous hearts. They went after other gods. And we saw that it broke the heart of God, his people turning after idols. And then we also saw that God being righteous would bring his judgment as he had declared. And you might remember in Ezekiel's second vision in chapter 8 that we were taken on a tour of Israel's private sins in the temple. Horrible. Horrible evil. And the Lord was showing Ezekiel what's going on and why he was going to judge. And the Lord's glory started to leave the temple. And yet we saw God was gracious and he commanded that angel in white with the writing case to mark the heads of those who mourned over sin to protect them from his judgment, that they would be, in a sense, passed over. And yet we saw that God would bring his judgment. Now, in chapters 10 and 11, we saw God's wrath from a heavenly viewpoint where the glory departed. And we saw that undeviating execution of the command with the angels and the cherubim, the wheels, all that perfectly doing God's will according to his direct commands. And yet we saw future hope, even in the midst of judgment, that there would be those that God would give a new heart, that they would have their sins forgiven, that he would be their God and they would be his people. Even in that, there were those that he was saving. God was saving a remnant, a gracious God. Then we saw in chapter 11 in the end, the awful truth that the glory departed and now God is ready to bring his judgment. And then we saw the baggage sign, the starvation sign as Ezekiel played out what would happen to Jerusalem. And that the evil sayings of the people would cease. You see, even the exiles were saying, oh, it's not going to happen. They had little sayings that were delaying what God was saying. And God said, that's not going to happen. He's going to fulfill his word now without delay. You see, God does say what he's going to do, but he delays because he's gracious and he's saving people. But here he had had enough and the time was up. And then we saw last week that God began and he declared his judgment upon the purveyors of these wicked lies. Those who would come and trick God's people into believing lies of peace and safety when they weren't right with God. And so with this in mind, how can we find encouragement in the midst of such perilous times with so much falsehood going on around us, so many lies and deception, all this stuff gone? How can we find encouragement? Well, I'll turn again to Ezekiel 13. Now, you might remember last week we looked at, and you can look at this on your own, but in Deuteronomy 13 also, the Lord revealed why he allows false prophets. He allows them to see if we love him or not. It's a test. Who do we love? Do we love him or do we love the excitement of the false prophets or what are they saying? And then last week you might remember that we saw these bad guys from God's perspective. You see, our perspective is flawed. You know, we humanize things. We use our own wisdom. We're flawed in our analysis. We lean on our own understanding, which we're not to do. But God reveals in his word what the bad guys really look like so that we can spot them and stay away and be protected because God wants to protect us. You might remember we saw last week the character of these bad guys. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13. We'll review the first 7 verses. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Okay? There were these prophets of Israel who prophesied, spoke forth for God, quote unquote, from their own inspiration. That would be the word translated heart or mind. You might even have a note in your Bibles. These false prophets didn't speak from the Lord. They spoke from their own souls, from their own ideas, claiming it to be from the Lord. And then notice the Lord condemns them. Verse 3. Thus says the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build a wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares? But it is not I who have spoken. So you might remember we saw last week, and I'm not going to go through it in detail, but the Lord revealed these people who they were. First of all, they're foolish. In Scripture, fools are those who have rejected God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And these foolish prophets were those who didn't know the Lord, as we'll see, because they're going to go to judgment. They're non-believers claiming to be the Lord's, claiming to speak for him. And we saw also that they follow their own spirit. They follow their own spirit and they prophesy from their own inspiration and have seen nothing. As we'll see, they inflate things in their head and they speak for God when God is not speaking through them. You might remember from Hebrews chapter 1 that God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but now has spoken through his Son. We have his completed word now, but back before God spoke in different ways and he spoke through. But these were false prophets. And then we saw that these bad guys are at home in the midst of spiritual ruin. You wonder why bad teachers and false prophets can stay in churches and while they're messing with people. Well, they love it. They're at home there. Oh, Israel, your prophets are like foxes among ruins. It's a picture of a fox scavenging for food among the ruins. They're profiting from the ruin of people, the ruin of the people that they're supposed to be feeding and turning to the Lord. And then we saw that they don't confront sin. Verse 5, you have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build a wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. They didn't confront sin. Jeremiah really made it clear, and you can turn to Jeremiah 23. The Lord made it clear. Now remember, Jeremiah is prophesying to the Jews in Jerusalem while Ezekiel is prophesying to the exiles in Babylon. Okay? And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23:20, this is the Lord speaking, then the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he's performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. He's saying, hey, I didn't send them where they would have shared my word and they would have turned them from their deeds. But they have not done that. They don't confront sin. They are non-believing fools who speak from their own hearts rather than from God's word. They live among the spiritual ruin and they love it. And they don't confront sin. And then we saw that they see nothing, emptiness, and they have lying divination. They're liars. Verse 6. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Ezekiel 13, verse 6. And then verse 7. Did you not see a false vision? Or you could say, didn't you envision nothing? There was nothing there. It speaks of emptiness. And speak a lying divination when you said the Lord declares, but it is not I have spoken. You see, Satan is the father of lies, John 8. And these false prophets spoke from their own hearts. God didn't speak through them. He didn't speak to them and they didn't speak through them. It's a man-centered message that's supposedly from the Lord, but comes from the father of lies. It's a lying divination. And then we see they speak for God when he hasn't sent them. Verse 7, did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? Despite what these false prophets were saying to Israel, they weren't speaking for God, even though they would declare, thus says the Lord. So it's pretty discouraging. You look out on the internet, you look at other churches and places, you know, they're good churches, but they're bad churches. There are people who are not speaking for God, but claiming to speak for God. And there are people being deceived and lives being ruined and destroyed. And it's discouraging, especially when we see it maybe in people we know who have been caught up in things. Bad doctrine, bad teaching, things where we see what happens to their lives and it hurts our hearts. But the Lord's not going to let it continue. Let's look at our passage now. We're going to see that God is against them. Verse 8, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord. So my hand will be against those prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord. It is definitely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there's no peace. And anyone who builds a wall, behold, they plaster over it with whitewash. So tell those who plaster over it with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I shall tear down the wall which you have plastered over with whitewash and bring down to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst and you will know that I am the Lord. Then I shall spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered over it with whitewash. And I shall say to you, the wall is gone, its plasters are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem and those who see visions for peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord. So I believe we're going to see from our text today, first of all, the doom of these false prophets, the future doom. They're not going to get away with it. Notice he says, therefore, in verse 8. He's saying, therefore, and if you look in verse 8, you see, therefore, thus, because you, therefore, behold. You got a statement here. Therefore, thus, because you, therefore, behold. So therefore, because these are bad guys, as we'll see. Therefore, he says here, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. The Lord is not for those who speak a lie. He is not for those who declare for him lies, who say it's from him, but it's not. He is not for them. And this is a horrifying thought, the God of the universe against you. Therefore, I am against you, he says. Verse 9, so my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. It's exactly what we saw earlier in verses 6 and 7. They see false. The word false means empty. It's they envision things. They make it up in their heads. And they bring forth lying divination, saying, this is what the Lord says. But it isn't. So he says, so my hand will be against them who see false visions and lying divination. You see, James makes it clear that there are two types of wisdom. There's wisdom from above and wisdom from below. And he talks about the wisdom from below. He says it's not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. You know, when Peter, the believer, was thinking his own thoughts, when he was thinking man's thoughts, not God's, the Lord said, get behind me, Satan, for you're not thinking God's thoughts, but man's, basically. That's what he said. And so these people speak out of their own hearts. They lean on their own understanding. They say it comes from God. They deceitfully package it as God's word. But it is demonic, satanic, no matter how much. You know, we're so naive. Someone says, I love Jesus and I love this and that, that people just listen. Oh, yeah, it must be good. Well, test everything by the word of God. Make sure that it's so. So the Lord is against them. And thus, verse 9, his hand will be against the prophets who see visions and utter lying divinations. So the Lord shares this in absolute terms, that the end is coming for them. And notice what he says. He's going to share three specific things that will be the result. He says, first of all, middle of verse 9, they will have no place in the council of my people. Oh, what's he saying here? He's saying the time will come when the influence of these false prophets upon God's people will be removed. They will have no more opportunity to influence God's people with their false visions and lying divinations, with their wicked counsel. Future tense, they will have no place in the council of my people. You see, when God's judgment comes upon them, they're not going to be around anymore. And the same thing, when his judgment comes upon this earth, we'll be spared from that. We're not destined for wrath. Those who are false will be dealt with. And notice, secondly, he says, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel. This is an interesting statement. It may seem like a small thing, some book in the house of Israel, whatever. What's he talking about here? I believe he's saying they're not going to be considered to be God's people. You see, God made a covenant with Israel, and they're his people, but those who reject him and don't trust in him are not his people ultimately. Those who do not have forgiveness of sins. He says they won't be written down in the register. Indeed, we see later on in Scripture that if anyone's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're thrown into the lake of fire.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, your message today carried some very important truth for us. Take just a moment and review maybe just a couple of the highlights for us.
Well, Dave, as we saw in review today, as we began our message, the Lord God reveals very clearly what false teachers look like here in the book of Ezekiel. And indeed, we saw they are foolish. They are those who are not believers. They are in unbelief. And secondly, we saw that their prophecy or revelation is all from self and nothing from God. And then we saw that they're at home in spiritual ruin. They love the ruin they cause in churches. They're at home in that. And then we also saw they have not and they do not confront sin. We also saw that they speak nothing and thus falsehood, lying divination. So with that in mind, we see ultimately that they say they speak for the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. And then we began to look at what God is going to do, their doom. You see, they're not going to get away with what they're doing. Okay, well, we're not done with this passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints, where we will see the doom of the false prophets.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.